Hey y'all, welcome to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, I'm joined by Jocelyn James. Jocelyn, if you'd like to introduce yourself, go ahead.
All right, everyone. Like you said, my name is Jocelyn James. I am from Southeast Oklahoma from a little chapter called LATA. I'm currently serving as chapter president, and I'm involved in pretty much everything you can be involved in FFA.
Awesome. So I'm going to start off with one question that I ask like absolutely everybody that comes on this podcast. So how has your FFA journey looked like over the years?
So the spring of my seventh grade year is when COVID hit, and over the summer is when we had to do all of our school enrollment. So when it came to me over a decision on the Google form, they opened up an ag class for eighth graders for 1 year, and that happened to be the year that I enrolled in it. And so that's how I got into the class. And then I'd always been involved in 4-H public speaking. And so the first opportunity that came up for that in FFA was opening and closing ceremonies, like a lot of other FFA members got their start. So I started there. I was the vice president on that team. And then that same year, I wrote and delivered a speech on Native American influence on agriculture. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Oklahoma is one of the only states that categorizes their speeches, and then all of the state champions compete against each other for, like, the prepared public speaking champion. So I ended up placing fifth in my division that year. And so from there, it kind of carried on. I did opening ceremonies again my freshman year, continued to do public speaking. I also did creed speaking. And my sophomore year, I eventually got into extemporaneous. I started doing all kinds of CDEs. I've done farm business management, environmental and natural resources, and I'm looking to do agronomy this year to finish it all off. And this year, we're also hoping to get into Parley Pro. So I'm covering all my bases with all of the events, but as far as success goes in each one, I've learned a lot from each one. I've won some things with everything that I've done, and there have also been some failures. So overall, I would say my journey in FFA has been a really good learning experience for me.
Definitely. So I know you're from Oklahoma, and I was going to ask, like, so what are some of your favorite things about your state association that you may not see in, like, some of the others across the country?
One thing that I love about Oklahoma more than anything is just how connected we all are. I think at WLC, I was there with a few chapters that were in the same state, but they didn't know anybody from the other chapters. And something about Oklahoma is that I go to state convention and I'm running into kids that are from the very edge of the panhandle, and I'm on the opposite side of the state. And I know who they are, and I've seen them at other events. And there's just a connectedness there that I don't see in a lot of other states. And so to be able to have that in our state is something that I find really, really cool.
Yeah, I could definitely vouch for, like, that tight-knit community aspect, because a few weeks ago, the hurricane, like, hit, well, the remnants of the hurricane hit, like, eastern Tennessee and, like, western North Carolina, and all that flooding happened, and much of Tennessee decided to come together and, you know, raise supplies and, you know, donate everything over to East Tennessee to, you know, support them. And, like, that's one thing that's, like, really, really important in the state association, that tight-knit, like, community and, like, community aspect, and I definitely agree on that. So what are some of your favorite things about FFA, like, as a whole? Like, maybe a certain competition or event that you've been to?
One of my favorite things about FFA, and especially going into this year, is the aspect that, you know, a lot of the events are exactly the same, like prepared public speaking, different topics, but same idea, and Parley Pro and opening and closing ceremonies. So as I've gotten older as an FFA member, being able to cheer on the younger members, because I know that they're going through the same nerves and all of the same, you know, like, rush of emotions that I did when I was their age, it's a really cool experience to be able to mentor them as I've gotten older, to kind of set them up for success in FFA. So that's definitely one of my favorite things about the organization. And another, I would say, would be the ability to come together as a collection of people that are so diverse in our other interests, in our lives, in our backgrounds, but we all have one thing in common. And I think that's the coolest thing ever that we're able to form relationships off of that.
Definitely. So I was recently reading through like the list of FFA and USA reporters, and I did see your name on the list, so I decided that I was going to read the article that you had put out. So it was actually really good, by the way.
Thank you.
So what is like been what is your favorite part of being an FFA and the USA reporter?
My favorite part so far has been being able to learn more about the FFA members around me. My first story was over someone who I've known for quite a while, and we serve on some of the same councils and everything. So I had known Koi for a few years at this point. We've been in the same competition since 8th grade. So to be able to write that story over his SAE, I knew he had one that was pretty unique for Oklahoma, but being able to learn more about that and ask questions about it was super cool because I did not know about the National FFA SAE grant that he had gotten or what all went into making game calls. That was a whole new world to me. So for him to be very passionate about it and be able to explain it to me, and I mean, it's really awesome when you get to take someone's passion and then put it into a story that a lot of people are going to be able to read. It means a lot that National FFA would have chosen me to do that for people here in Oklahoma. So that's been one of my favorite parts, and I'm hoping that throughout the next few prompts that I can actually go to some FFA chapters in my state and visit their ag building while I get their story and do some live interviews.
Oh, definitely. So I'm also part of the team, and I serve alongside someone else from West Tennessee to cover our region. And like that first prompt was really a special one. And you know, instantly I had somebody in mind, so I was like, yeah, I'm gonna reach out to her and you know, see if she'd be interested. And thankfully she was, and that story was honestly really fun to write. And I'm really excited for the second round to start getting published. I know a few have, and then the rest need to, you know, funnel their way out. So, yeah, so I guess we could talk about your SAE. So, what is like your supervised agricultural experience?
So my SAE is an agricultural communications SAE. I actually have two. The other is it has to do with equine because I have a show horse and we go all around the state for that kind of stuff, but it's pretty generic. My agricultural communications SAE is a podcast and a social media platform. And the craziest thing, almost a year ago at National FFA Convention, my ag teacher, just by a crazy roll of events, happened to sit down by Juan Jimenez Maldonado, who is an ag teacher from the Inocencio Montero Middle School in Puerto Rico. And they got to talking, and at this point I'd established the podcast over the summer, and my ag teacher mentions to him that it would be super cool to cover the plantain growing SAE from Puerto Rico on my podcast. And so my ag teacher comes and grabs me out of this workshop in the expo center and brings me to Mr. Maldonado, and I meet him and we get to talking. And so at this point, it's just plans to have his chapter on the podcast. And then a few months later, I'm talking to my ag teacher and he just drops this little subtle sentence. He's like, it'd be kind of cool if one day we were able to go there in person. And so from then on, I kind of had it in my head that like I want to accomplish that. So in March, I spent 4 days in Puerto Rico going around to different FFA chapters and meeting the students and learning about their SAEs. And it was one of the coolest experiences of my life. I don't think there was a better way to spend those 4 days in March than doing that. So my SAE has introduced me to a lot of amazing, influential people and taken me a lot of different places. I've had, let's see, my first guest, I met them at Oklahoma FFA State Convention. They were Gatlin Didier and Kay Didier, or better known as Daryl and Granny Bibbins on social media. And I've had the owner of Wandering Maverick Boutique. I even went as far to, I wanted to explore some diverse agricultural areas. And I had the director of the Maine Lobstering Coalition on the podcast. So it's been a pretty diverse group of people, including FFA members. So it's been really fun to learn more about people through asking them all kinds of different questions, agriculture related or not. And especially going to Puerto Rico, it gave me a whole new perspective on approaching the FFA and all of my contests and just being grateful for every single opportunity I've had.
Yeah, so, you know, speaking about your ag communications SAE as a whole, I did not expect myself to, you know, jump in with a podcast and actually run with it, because I'm the kind of person where I'll start something, and if I like it for a little bit, I'll keep doing it, and then eventually I'll stop, because I lose focus, or I don't know why, I just do it, though. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is episode, I think, 16, so I started sometime in June. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's trucking along. So, shifting focus back to Puerto Rico, would you want to share a little bit about Puerto Rico FFA as a whole?
Yes, I would love to. So, the first day when we went to Inocencio Montero, the students there, the minute I walked in the room, I just noticed this different feeling. And that's the crazy thing there. So, they don't have an ag building. They have an ag room. And they have a small, like, four-row garden outside of the classroom. And they, Mr. Jimenez asked me to speak to the class. And so I told them a little bit about Oklahoma FFA. And then I asked them to tell me a little bit about their SAE projects. And there was just this passion there that I don't think I've ever heard come out of someone's mouth before. And they were telling me one student had a poultry SAE and another just started working with bees to collect honey for her SAE. And then there was a student who is in sixth grade. She can't even go to competitions yet, but has the creed memorized in Spanish and can give it with such cadence. And I mean, she gave a great performance of creed speaking, and she's only in sixth grade. And it just really spoke to me about how passionate they are about just being in the FFA. Not even, oh, I got to walk across stage at state convention. I got recognized for this. To them, it wasn't about that. It was more about the experience that they got and the knowledge that they were able to bring back to their family farms and to their SAEs. And throughout the rest of the week, we went to visit the University of Puerto Rico Mayagüez and also the university there in Utuado, where I was staying. And at both places, the college students there once again amazed me. Going on college tours here in the continental United States, students would take us to the greenhouses and throughout like their ag buildings to show us the classrooms. And it just, to be there and to hear those college students speak, they put forth this attitude of like, they were just grateful to be there and to have that education. And they were so passionate about what they were talking about. I met a student that I never thought I would want to learn about butterflies and how you can use other bugs instead of pesticides. But that day he made me want to listen to that topic. It was just so captivating how he spoke about it. And throughout the rest of the week, we went to visit a few dairy operations, and there's this really, really small one in Arecibo and it's on the coast. So a few years ago when they were hit by a tropical storm, his dairy was almost completely wiped out. So his name is Victor, and he is an American FFA degree recipient. And we found this out while we were there, but he obtained his American FFA degree the same year that my ag teacher did. And I mean, it was just incredible to hear that story of coming back from the multiple tropical storms and a hurricane that they've been hit with, to with even less resources than we have here in the U.S. heavy machinery, not really a thing there. I think I saw one Kubota store. But even back in Utuado, there's a student named Derek, and Derek farms plantains. He farms plantains on the side of a mountain, no machinery besides a machete. So they don't use pesticides. He hand weeds everything, and sometimes with the help of a machete, and that's it. And it was incredible to learn about that. And just the overall work ethic of everyone I met was incredible. I'm not really sure there's words that accurately describe how different, but also how inspiring everything was there.
Yeah, I was while you were talking about that, I was kind of like thinking back because last year at National Convention, I just so happened to look up. Our chapter was sitting there. We were tired, like it had been a long day, and I think we were getting ready to go to the concert or something. And I was in the expo hall, and I look up and I see a jacket, and it has Puerto Rico on it. And I was like, oh my gosh! I wish I would have had the nerve to go up to those people and just ask, like, questions, because there were so many questions at that moment that I had, but I just, a little chickened out, but that's besides the point. So I just think it's so cool to have people from 52 state associations counting the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. Like, that is just that is that's awesome to me. And so I know I've got one more question to piggyback off the Puerto Rico stuff. So what is like the one like theme that you learned while you were down there?
Oh, that's hard. Let's see. There was a lot that I learned about agriculture as a whole, and about leadership, and about all of the things that FFA is built around. But I would say, and I spoke to, so at the time that I was down there, I met with Jorge and Javier Rivera, who at the time, respectively, were the state FFA president and state FFA secretary for Puerto Rico. And I told them as we were walking around the school that being in Puerto Rico and being around the students and the ag teachers and their student farms, it felt like the ag education they were getting there and their participation in FFA felt like the original mission of what the National FFA organization is. And so I guess I could say that that's what I've learned or taken away from it, more like it, that those their attitudes towards having to put in hard work into something or asking about their projects, having their ag teachers help with their projects was almost like a good change from here in Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma FFA and I love the students in it, and I see the same passion here sometimes. But to be around what felt like the most original version of FFA for a few days was it changed my perspective. It changed my attitude about wanting to put into work into my SAE. And what I would say I learned from that was that it's not always about, how far can I go with this? How much can I win with this? It's more about what can I learn from this, and how is it going to impact those around me? So I guess that's what I learned or took away most from it.
Yeah, I can't even. I would love to just experience that, like, the, I guess you could say, originality of, like, the foundation that FFA was built upon, because their state isn't, well, state association isn't super, super old compared to, half of them in our country. So they are kind of, fresh in the whole FFA spectrum as a whole. And, like, I think that would just be really cool to sit and experience that exact, like, motivation and drive to do, because like you said, there are a good bit of members in our in the continental USA that like to, express that they like to be driven, but at the same time you have some that are not as driven, that not or that are not as worried about or not caring about stuff as much as some others would. And I think it'd be really cool to just sit and see exactly what that looks like from their perspective. So shift in focus to an upcoming event actually, what, next week? Or not next week, but the week after. So, what are you looking forward to most with the 97th National FFA Convention and Expo?
So, unfortunately, this year I'm coming by myself, just with my mom. But last year I was able to come with two other chapter members and my ag teacher, and this year, that's not the case, but that's okay. So what I'm most looking forward to is, for context, I got a WLC scholarship for this summer from an organization called the Tribal Agriculture Fellows, and they asked me to speak at, they have like a meet and greet luncheon in the Expo Center, I think on Friday afternoon, and they asked me to speak at that luncheon. And that experience this summer was incredible. So not only did they provide us with the resources to go to WLC, but they also took us to meet with officials at the State Department, the Bureau of Indian Education, which is inside the Department of the Interior. So we got to go up in like a penthouse meeting room almost on top of the Department of the Interior. And we also got to go to the USDA and walk up to the Tribal Relations Office. And that experience, I don't think there was a better WLC experience out there. And even after they take us on week five, everyone that gets that scholarship has to go on week five. And we're sitting in the lobby of the Omni, and two national officers just show up because they're getting ready for State Officer Summit. So it was really an experience that I like to share with other people, especially other tribal FFA members that might have that opportunity coming up in the next 2 to 3 years that they're able to go to WLC. So for them to ask me to speak at that luncheon was really incredible, which is kind of the reason that I'm even going to National Convention. So I'm most looking forward to that, mainly because I get to sit there and I get to share my experience in exploring tribal agriculture and then turning that into being able to go speak with the leaders of our country about issues that I'm seeing in my community, and that they also have the opportunity to do that. So I'm really, really excited about that.
Yeah, National Convention is always like a highlight for me every year, which this is only going to be my second year going, but you get the point. So there's like always a common thing that you see. I mean, it's about 70 plus thousand people in downtown Indianapolis, and it gets busy. I mean, you get sessions all day long, you got workshops, you've got the expo, like everything is just so fun there. But like, I don't really say that I'm looking forward to this part, but like, one thing that I'm really excited to see is I'm ready to hear all the retiring addresses because this, I mean, this particular team, a bunch of them, like I've spoke to in person, made connections with, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not happy to see them go, but I'm excited to see the ushering in of the next, six national officers. And we have one person from Tennessee that is running. She ran last year, unfortunately didn't get a position, but she is this year again, and we're really excited to see what she can do, and of course all the others from across the country. So
Sorry.
you're good.
We have a candidate this year. Her name is Kylie Falasco, and she wasn't the vice president for my area, but she was the vice president for the Southwest area. And I didn't really know her all that well when she started her state officer year, but she has been an incredible support to me. And I plan on staying through Sunday. I'm not going to the American degree ceremony just because it's so long. But I do want to be able to go and to experience that. And if, I mean, if she gets a position, I think I will actually cry. But she has been such a support to me. I remember when FFA in the USA, when that list came out, she was one of the first people to reach out to me and to tell me congratulations. And I mean, she even told me, there have been times where like I just needed to talk, and she's always been there for me and able to give me advice. And so I'm rooting for her, but I also want to root for everyone. It's so difficult when it comes to national office and retiring addresses. So Oklahoma FFA, they'll take delegates to sit with them on the floor, and hopefully they're on the first row again. I hope so. But I'm hoping to see Emily Gossett's retiring address. I love
Oh,
her, and
definitely.
I just I'm last year I watched some reason I can't remember her name. I just blanked, but I got emotional during it. And yeah, retiring addresses, I love them, but they also make me so emotional. So I'm excited for that as well.
Oh yeah, last year we were me and our chapter president last year, we went to one of the sessions and Karsten Cantrell was giving hers and so she was at camp with us. She went to Tennessee FFA Leadership Training Camp week 3 last year, and I was there that week. We got to meet her and got to know her, and she threw in a little, I guess shout out, I guess you could say, to Tennessee FFA and all that kind of stuff. And I think hers as a whole was like one of the most like moving and empowering things that I've ever like sat and listened to. And I've sat through probably 8 or 9 state officer ones, maybe 2 or 3 national ones, but I think that one was like one of the biggest things, like her whole counting joy like aspect to it is still something that I take today and run with it, I guess you could say. So, moving on to Washington Leadership Conference, I know you mentioned that you went to it this past summer. Could you share about your experience at WLC?
Yes, it was awesome. My small group was so much fun. We were the congressional campers. We were with Annie Hurd from Louisiana. And I mean, it was so much fun. I couldn't imagine a better group to be in there with. My roommates, though, were all from, let's see, I had a roommate from North Dakota, from Idaho, and from Wisconsin. And by the end of WLC, every time I would say something with like an O in it, it would sound like the Midwestern accent. And I just pretty much everyone we had, there were a lot of big chapters from Wisconsin, and a lot of Idaho kids were there. So everybody, there weren't many people from down south, and you could tell. People would, there was a lot of people asking us to say 5 bowls of boiling oil, and it was the most funny thing. But WLC as a whole, from a leadership aspect, was incredible. I'd never been to Washington, D.C. before. So, to be able to go see all of the different monuments and read all of the different quotes that are written in stone there was incredible. And a more unique part about WLC for me was I got to go with one other girl from Oklahoma. There were two kids from a chapter called Paul's Valley that were also there, but I'd never met them before. So me and this girl from Oklahoma, we get to the airport because TAF flew us in, and we had to wait because we were kind of lost. And I'm looking in my bag for like a boarding pass, I think, and I find this Polaroid that I took at our state leadership camp, which we call alumni camp, the week before, and it's our Southeast Area Vice President, Titus Montgomery. And it's a picture of him. And he like took a selfie, so it's a really, really bad picture. And we used that picture as a flat Stanley of sorts. We called it Flat Johnny. And we took that to every monument, to every session, every person from Oklahoma. We had a picture of Flat Johnny and them. And I mean, even in the State Department, we asked people to take a picture with Flat Johnny, which was probably the most unprofessional thing that I've ever done. But it was incredible. And being able to do all of that was super fun. Being able to have like a more fun part of WLC from all of the different workshops and things that we did was really fun. But the only downside of that is that Flat Johnny is in all of our pictures at these incredible monuments in Washington, D.C. And our tribal newspaper is doing a story over us and how we took that trip. And all of the pictures we sent them has this awful selfie in it. And so it's been kind of interesting figuring all of that out, but it was fun while we were there, and we weren't thinking about, oh, we were going to have a story written about us. So we were just having mindless fun. But the rest of WLC, creating a living to serve plan, really made me realize the deficits that I notice in my community every day, but I don't necessarily ever think about acting on. So making that living to serve plan really made me think about the actions that I can take to improve my community and to help make it a better place for not just me, but all of those around me.
So something like a really funny sidebar real quick. So I was talking to our state reporter, Paige Perdue, the other day, and we were talking about the whole concert ticket thing and all of that kind of stuff for national convention. And unfortunately they weren't able to get tickets. There was some kind of, they thought fraud was, happening to the card or whatever. And I texted her because we were able to, I think, get some kind of floor seats, don't remember where. But I texted her and I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna just like print out a flat Stanley of you and like, take it around everywhere there that night." And she was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be the funniest thing ever. Please do it." And I need to figure out how to. But I'm gonna have to, sort that away. But I can definitely say Washington Leadership Conference is something that's looked really, really cool throughout the years. I've never been. I do plan on going next year with the Tennessee FFA delegation, and I'm really excited for it. I mean, I've seen so many people have like a whole mindset change, I guess you could say, about certain things with it. A lot of new initiatives came out of it, like Miracle Brown, one of the our well, she's the Middle Tennessee regional reporter. I've had her on the podcast, a few other things. She was talking about how much, like, it's changed her perspective on stuff, and it was truly, I guess you could say, empowering on all the changes that you could see. And I'm really excited. I want to go and, get to experience that. So I do have only one more question, unfortunately, but I do like to always go out with this question because, if anybody's going to remember something, it's something that they hear most recently. So what advice would you give to a student that is hesitant to get involved in FFA?
What I would say to them, and I'd like to say that I jumped into opening ceremonies with just like no doubt whatsoever, but I mean, I was scared. I was so nervous. I was the only eighth grader on a team of freshmen, and my ad teacher chose me to be the vice president who has to like turn and look everybody in the eyes. And it was scary for me to actually get involved. And I was also scared of not being able to maintain my SAE or not ever writing a good enough speech. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to, if I get involved, then I need to be the best at it. That was my mindset, going into eighth grade, getting into competitions and public speaking especially. And over the years, I've realized that that's not really the case. You can be good at something in a totally different part of your life, not even FFA, and still be involved in FFA and just enjoy the experiences that come with it. I'm not great at farm business management. I'm not great at natural or environmental resources. I like IDing ducks and like taxidermy and stuff, not for me, but I do it anyways because it's an incredible experience. The bus rides, the conversations with an ag teacher, the camaraderie you make within your chapter and even in your state is something that you really can't get back. So to an FFA member that's hesitant to getting involved, I would just encourage you to look past the winning and the losing side of it. Look more at what you can learn and look at the, success doesn't always come with on paper success. I don't know if that makes sense. Sometimes success is just growing yourself and developing as a leader. And for me, developing into a leader has included a lot of failure and learning how to deal with failure with dignity. So that's my biggest piece of advice to someone who's hesitant to get into it, is just look past the all the recognition you can get and look more at what you yourself can gain from it.
Awesome. So that is, like I said, unfortunately all that I have for this podcast episode. Are there any like closing remarks that you like to give before we end the episode?
Not any that I can think of.
Alrighty. So thank y'all for listening to this episode. I did want to say at the end of this episode that I am going to be switching to a bi-weekly schedule. So every other Monday I'll be putting out an episode. But yeah, so thank y'all for listening. I will see y'all back in 2 weeks.